here. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, in last month's election, voters in Puerto Rico were asked whether they'd like the island admitted to the Union as a state. We'll take a look at the results, what they mean, and what might come next. First, Keely Boltina joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. It's Giving Tuesday, by the way, the first day of this drive. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday. Make a gift for the programs that keep you and so many others informed and inspired here on the Ideas Network. Thank you for making a difference in your community with your gift now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 20 gifts this hour. This goal is important. It's set to make sure that we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on.
We will meet that goal one donation at a time, and let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. We do get funding from the federal government and from the state, and it really is voluntary listener contributions that make up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
That means your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important you are, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
During this member drive, we have a special gift. You can ask for one of the Reach Out and Read thank you gifts when you give $10 a month or more.
That means your donation to WPR will power all the essential news and quality entertainment and conversations you count on. Plus, your gift will provide books to young children during their doctor visits. Thank you for making a difference for kids in your community and for WPR with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Time is flying. It is already December, and that has us looking ahead to New Year's resolutions. You can take care of this one in just a few minutes, and it's one you'll be glad to keep. You want to support your source for information, for entertainment, maybe for some inspiration? Do it now. Make your year-end gift to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact info, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
50 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 20 people to join in with their gifts on this, the first day of our year-end member drive. You make it all possible. You make these great conversations on the Ideas Network possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And do a couple of good things at once. Choose that Reach Out and Read thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and help Wisconsin kids get a strong start in literacy.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you do that, you'll provide reliable support for all the programs you love.
We have a couple of comments from some listeners. Aaron in La Crosse says, I'm giving to support journalistic excellence and the critical need for trusted sources of information. Aaron, thank you for that. And then Rob in Cornucopia says, I want to keep fine programming strong and help us get through to a better future. Rob, thank you so much for that comment, and thank you for supporting the mission of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Aaron and Rob get it. They appreciate what they hear here on Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm glad they do. And they understand that we can't do all the things we do without your support. Over the years, over the decades, your gifts have made a big difference in continuing our quality programming and in trying new things along the way. We can't do it without you. That's why your gift is such a big deal. Right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You're listening to Central Time. Now, as people across the nation went to the polls on November 3rd, Puerto Ricans were also deciding to support or oppose statehood for the island. This non-binding referendum wasn't the first time Puerto Ricans were asked about statehood on their ballots. A majority of Puerto Rican voters said yes, So now what? Our guest is here to help us understand what statehood would mean for the island and what it would take to get there from where they are now. Sam Ehrman is a professor of law and history at the University of Southern California. He's the author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution, and Empire. Sam, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we dig back into some of the history of how Puerto Rico got where it is today, can you talk about this non-binding referendum on Election Day? What came out of it and what it really means?
Sure. So Puerto Rico has had a series of referendums over the years trying to settle what it is that the people of Puerto Rico would like to have happen with their island. Would they like it to become a state? Would they like it to be an independent country? Or would they like it to be in some sort of in-between status that has some degree of self-government, but is also within the United States? And these referendums have always been plagued by the difficulty of determining, of asking the questions in a way that everybody felt was fair. So this referendum was notable because nobody boycotted it thinking it was unfair. At the same time, voter turnout was relatively low by Puerto Rican standards. So a majority came out in favor of statehood, but not a large majority and not in an election that had overwhelming turnout.
I want to step back, 122 years or so to Puerto Rico becoming a part of the United States, but not a full-fledged state of the United States. Talk about the sort of middle zone that Puerto Rico started out in and mostly stayed in.
Let's take an 8-minute break. And
sure.
Make a little stretch
So the Puerto Rico showed up in 1898 during the Spanish-American War. And as a result of it being annexed, it came within U.S. sovereignty. But there was still a question, which was, would the United States allow Puerto Rico to become a state, or would it do something else with it, sort of like a colony? And the decision was pretty quickly made that Puerto Rico would be held as a colony, that unlike all prior territories, it wouldn't be put on the path to statehood.
Why was that? Why was Puerto Rico different than, say, the Wisconsin territory before that?
Right. That's a great question. So the answer was really the Philippines. The United States had annexed the Philippines at the same time. Most Americans thought that Philippines were an inferior race and didn't want the Philippines to come in as a state. And so they decided we need to do something different. And Puerto Rico was handy. It had just come in too. And so by treating Puerto Rico badly, the United States hoped that it could set a precedent that it could then apply to the Philippines. And once they'd started treating Puerto Rico badly, it then became the case the United States didn't say, well, now we've created the precedent and we can treat Puerto Rico well. Instead, they said, well, we treated them badly and we must have had a good reason for it. It's probably because Puerto Ricans are also inferior to us. And so a process of racism got underway that then justified keeping Puerto Rico at arm's length.
Talking to Sam Ehrman from the University of Southern California, author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution and Empire, talking about a non-binding referendum last month on the idea of Puerto Rico becoming a state, narrowly approved or approved by a small majority, but with low turnout, as Sam said. Sam, let's talk about what Puerto Rico would get out of statehood. First, the benefits. What would they get that they don't have now in Puerto Rico?
Well, one major benefit is federal money. So the Supreme Court has said that Congress is allowed to treat Puerto Rico worse than other parts of the country, even though Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. If Puerto Rico was a state, the equal footing doctrine would mean that they would come in on the same footing as all existing states. And that is a lot of money that's potentially at stake for Puerto Ricans. Statehood would also give Puerto Rico representation at the federal level. They would be allowed to elect people to Congress. They'd have their own senators. They would vote in presidential elections and on constitutional amendments. And that kind of hard power would mean that they could get legislation an executive policy that was more crafted to their needs.
It sounds like that would be a sure thing. Of course, people would want that, but clearly that hasn't been the case throughout Puerto Rican history. What are the reservations people in Puerto Rico have about the idea of statehood?
Well, I think one big reservation is that the United States has not always treated Puerto Rico very well. And so the idea of throwing your lot in with a country that you feel like has treated you badly, that's just a hard thing to sell. People think, well, I don't know if I really want to be a full member of that country, given how they've treated us. It's also the case that Puerto Ricans have a sense of national identity, a cultural sense that they're separate and apart from the United States. And becoming a state would be a further type of integration into the United States. And so there's resistance to it from the sense that Puerto Rico should stand apart. Finally, becoming a state would probably foreclose independence for Puerto Rico. It would take an important option off the table. And while relatively few Puerto Ricans support independence at the moment, there's a big difference between saying we don't want to go all in for independence right now and saying we don't want ever to be able to consider it again.
Sam Ehrman is with us, professor of law and history at the University of Southern California, author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution and Empire. We're talking to him about Puerto Rico's most recent vote, a referendum, a non-binding one for U.S. statehood. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you like to see Puerto Rico become a state? Are you from there or do you have a background or connection to Puerto Rico? What do you think about when you think about the idea of Puerto Rican statehood? And do you have questions about what it would take, what it would mean? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Sam Ehrman about the latest vote for Puerto Rican statehood. He's a professor of law and history at the University of Southern California, author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution and Empire. You could join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Would you like to see Puerto Rico become the 51st state in the United States? Why? Why not? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Sam, we've been talking about the whether Puerto Rico and Puerto Ricans would want to become a state. Let's talk about the how. What it would take? What would it take to go from being a territory to a state?
Well, the Constitution's pretty clear on this. It just takes a vote of Congress. And so the question there is not really what does it take in terms of the law, but what would it take in terms of Congress wanting to do this? And there, it's hard to envision Congress making Puerto Rico a state without a strong sense that Puerto Ricans want to become a state. And so this latest referendum is important in the sense that if there was a Congress that wanted Puerto Rico to be a state, they can now point to the referendum as saying, we're not imposing it, we're doing what is asked of us.
And there's political calculation here, the perception that two new senators from Puerto Rico would most likely be Democratic senators. How much does partisan politics here in the U.S. Get in the way of the possibility of Puerto Rican statehood?
You know, partisan politics gets in the way of Puerto Rican statehood the way partisan politics gets in the way of everything these days. So it is basically impossible to imagine a Republican-controlled Senate making Puerto Rico into a state. And so part of Puerto Rican statehood, what it depends on is moments when the Democrats control the government. And those, right, unified control of the government is relatively rare. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen from time to time. And so Puerto Rico both needs a moment when the party that sees advantage in them becoming a state is in power, and when that party feels like it would be permissible to make them a state.
Short of statehood, what are some of the biggest concerns right now with the way the U.S. manages its relationship and control over Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico currently has this funny in-between status known as Commonwealth. And the idea is that Puerto Rico is no longer a colony of the United States, that the United States has given it enough self-government that it can be thought of as kind of its own thing. And for many years, this worked more or less because the United States was committed to being seen as an anti-colonial power. And so it tried to respect Puerto Rico's decisions and tried to treat Puerto Rico relatively well. That consensus has disappeared in recent years. And so Puerto Rico now is in this funny intermediate position where they can't really count on U.S. goodwill to the extent they used to, which has made their current situation more difficult.
And as I understand it, Sam, arguments over statehood within Puerto Rico are often, I guess, subject to local politics over who the governor is going to be, over who's going to control the legislature. It ends up becoming a political football within Puerto Rico. Can you talk about how that works?
Yeah, so this is the classic colonial condition. Puerto Rico has three ways it might ultimately go. It could be independent, it could be a state, it could retain the self-government option. And politics tends to rotate around these three options, making it hard for politics to settle on other issues. So all of politics gets caught up in the colonial question. At the same time, the colonial question gets caught up in politics. So recently, people went into the streets to force out the governor of Puerto Rico after he made some really offensive comments and was thought to not be doing a good job in certain ways. And he was a pro-statehood governor. And so one would think that's going to be a hit against statehood for a little while if everyone's mobilized against him. And so what you end up with is this politics where it's hard to focus on anything other than the colonial question because it's always underlying who you're voting for. The parties line up one for each of these outcomes. And at the same time, with there being three options and with there always being other issues, it's often hard to get a clear statement as to where people or where the island stands on the colonial question.
Sam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Sam Ehrman is a professor of law and history at the University of Southern California. He's the author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution, and Empire. We talked about the statehood ballot initiative voted on last month in Puerto Rico. Coming up, the Midwest is a hotbed for lots of grottos, sculpture gardens, and cement-based folk art. We talked to a Milwaukee-based artist who's devoted herself to the art of the grotto. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Keely Boltina joins me now. It's the first day of this year-end drive. You make the Ideas Network possible when you give. Join this celebration of giving. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday. Support the programs you count on all year long with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have 35 minutes left in this hour of Central Time, and we're looking for 11 more people to join in. And certainly we want to say thank you if you've already given.
Yeah, thanks for getting us off to a good start on Central Time on this first day of the drive. If you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs that you count on.
I mean, in this last segment, we've learned a ton about Puerto Rican statehood, about the process for becoming a state, and not just the technicalities, but all of the factors of being human and working together in communities and how those affect that decision, both by Puerto Rico and by people in Congress. It's this kind of conversation that gives you not just the glancing information of the day, but real substance and context to the things that are happening in our world. These kinds of conversations you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
You listen to WPR month after month, year after year. Now donate the same way you listen. Become a sustaining member. You'll make ongoing contributions of, say, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you want.
And you'll have that satisfaction of knowing that you're always supporting the programs you are listening to. Don't delay. Become a sustainer right now. Set it up. It takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is an incredible source of information about the nation, about the world, and it's all rooted right here in Wisconsin. You always get the Wisconsin angle on what's happening, so you understand your place in all of this. You value WPR for the lifelong learning it brings to your life. You learn something new every day, year after year.
This continuing education is possible only because of support from listeners like you. Like any education, you get out of it what you put into it. Invest in your education at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let's think about it. I mean, maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a pretty great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or soda or even a day of cell phone service.
A buck a day comes out to $30 a month. You could set it up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge to your credit card. Make your gift now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When 11 more people support WPR programs, in about the next half an hour, we meet our goal. WPR is listener-powered, and that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And choose the Reach Out and Read thank you gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. When you do that, you make a difference for Wisconsin Public Radio, and you help provide books to children in your community during their doctor visits.
Such a great opportunity there. And, you know, if you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR. Maybe it's by $5 or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose is right, you can do that at WPR.org or pick up the phone and call 888-202-2552.
Bosley in La Crosse says, I literally believe Wisconsin Public Radio creates some of the most important content on U.S. airwaves. Wow, thank you. Diane in Michigan gave. Diane says, I love the programming from my neighbors in Wisconsin, and I'm happy to donate. Thank you both so much. How about you? You count on us for great conversations here on Central Time, here on the Ideas Network, each and every day. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift. It makes a difference at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we hear from a Milwaukee-based artist about her love for grottos and shrines, and she shares her tips for creating your own grotto, big or small. Now, Keely Boltina joins me for the listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. It's Giving Tuesday. Think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2020. With 2021 around the corner, you can take action now during this drive. Give the programs you count on a strong start in this coming new year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, we're looking for 9 more people to join in about the next half an hour. When we do that, we meet our goal for this hour of Central Time. These hourly goals are set up specifically to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
As an Ideas Network listener, you're smart. You want to know what's going on in the news and in the culture around us. And we're right there with you exploring all the stuff here on Central Time.
We're grateful for your support. It makes all of the stories and the conversations you hear on this show possible. Give now. It makes a big difference. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might spend a few dollars a month on a TV streaming or movie subscription service. Think about paying for your WPR usage that same way. After all, you tune in every day, maybe, for information and entertainment.
If you've never given before, start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month. I mean, that's similar to maybe Disney Plus or Netflix for subscriptions. Maybe it's even a better deal for WPR. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
We have an opportunity to come together and support the organizations we care about. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day for people around the world to support the nonprofits that make a difference in our communities. Your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio powers the trustworthy news and community connections that you and so many others rely on. Join the movement today with your gift now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina. Your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your donation.
This year-end member drive is a great time to make your last gift of the year to WPR. It takes just a few minutes of your time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, getting ahead of the holiday end-of-the-year rush. And when you give, you'll have that good feeling of supporting the station that you've enjoyed all year long and that you're looking forward to in 2021.
Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but when you do choose to support it, you make all the WPR programs you enjoy possible. How about a gift right now of maybe $10 a month?
You decide the amount and then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 9 more gifts by the end of the hour. We can do it, and we can do it with your help when you join in. You make it all possible when you give at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
And when you do that, you can choose the Reach Out and Read thank you gift. It's when you give $10 a month or more. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And when you choose Reach Out and Read, you're making a difference for Wisconsin Public Radio, and you're also helping Wisconsin kids get a strong start in literacy.
If you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your credit card or bank account at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That way you provide reliable support for the programs you love.
And becoming a sustainer is super easy. It's really quick, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Rob, I just think it's amazing that you can kind of set it and forget it until you want to change something.
It's pretty cool. Sora in Westport gave. Sora says thank you to Rob and the Central Time team. Whoever thought 3 p.m. could be such an exciting time. Fantastic. Thank you, Sora. I get pretty excited. Lane in Elvira says, I am proud to call WPR my public radio home. Well, how about you? Do you get excited when Central Time rolls around like I do? Do you call WPR my public radio home? Sora and Lane both think so, respectively. If you do, too, how about your gift? WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. In the early 20th century, artists and religious leaders in the Midwest went to work building shrines of concrete and collages called grottos, or sometimes referred to as cement gardens. A few grottos of Wisconsin include the famous Dickeyville Grotto, the Wisconsin Concrete Park in Phillips, Grandview, a sculpture garden in Hollandale, and Rudolph Grotto Gardens in Rudolph. A local artist has been inspired in part by these grottos of the past in her own work today. Becca Cassanda is an artist based in Milwaukee. Her work called Rotto Grotto is inspired by the rich legacy of spiritual grottos and handmade folk environments in the upper Midwest. Becca, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with the concept of the grotto, because when I hear the word, I can picture it, but I don't think I could explain or define it to someone. How do you define or explain the concept of the grotto?
Sure. The dictionary definition of a grotto is a cave-like structure, and usually a man-made artificial cave-like structure. I use the word a little bit more loosely to sort of describe any sort of sculpture or object, whether it's in the shape of a cave or something else, but a sculpture that's embedded with objects. So typically like seashells or pieces of glass or pottery or things like that. And I also like to use the word grotto as a verb. So as we talk, I might be using it that way. But anything that you grotto is something that's embedded with all kinds of really interesting objects.
And one of the cool things about grottos is it's a folk art, and there's lots of it around the Midwest. I understand that's part of what got your attention about grottos. What captured your imagination as you saw the grottos of places like Wisconsin and Iowa?
Yeah. So my first experience of a grotto was the Dickeyville Grotto in Dickeyville, Wisconsin. So I moved from New York to Iowa in 2010, and my friend Laura knew that I was like interested. I'm an artist, and she knew that I was interested in really weird art. And I had kind of noticed some more simple grottos in Dubuque. And she was like, I need to take you to the Dickeyville Grotto in Dickeyville, Wisconsin, which is right over the border from Iowa. So she took me there, and I was really blown away. She kind of described it to me, but you really have to see it in person to understand how insane it is. So I was really blown away at that time, because it's really enormous and colorful, and it has so many different things embedded into it, like glass and gems and pottery and ceramics, and even like sea urchins and starfish, and there's like petrified wood, and there's stalactites and stalagmites, and they've imported so many materials, and it's just like this kind of overwhelming feat of nature and art all coming together. It's very like psychedelic. So that was like seeing that site kind of sold me on this art form and kind of started my journey of wanting to make my own.
And let's talk about your work now. You've got this concept of the Rotto Grotto. Tell us about that.
Sure. So the word Rotto, I chose it because it rhymes with grotto, and I didn't really know what it meant at the time. And I like that it kind of sounded like the word rotten. It just kind of had a bit of an edge to it. But it actually is, my friend later told me, it's Latin for broken, which is perfect because grottos are made out of a lot of broken materials. But the name Rotto Grotto started because it started with a project. So after I saw the Dickeyville Grotto, I posted to Facebook, like, I want to make a grotto. I just threw that out there. And my friend Katie, who's involved like in the art scene, and she's like, you should apply for a grant from the Iowa Arts Council to do a project with it. And long story short, I did end up putting together this project proposal, and I submitted it to the Iowa Arts Council, and it was approved. So the project that I named Rotto Grotto included collecting materials from community members in Dubuque mostly, and then collaging these materials onto an upright cast iron bathtub to make like a shrine or a grotto to Dubuque. And I ended up displaying this bathtub grotto at Dubuque Fine Arts Festival. And they were kind of in progress at the time, but I worked on it in person to sort of show the technique. And then I also had some tables set up where you could come and grotto your own object. So I showed people how they could embed objects into we were using like a plumber's putty at the time, so they could embed objects into this substance and then make their own little grotto or little like memory jar like object. So that was kind of the start of the project. And then since then, I've hosted a lot of different workshops at different locations. It seems to resonate with a lot of people, sort of connecting back to this art form and then, sort of showing how you can do it on your own.
I love that part of the project you've been doing. It's partly your own work, but you also, as you mentioned, bring other people on board to do their own grottoing. And I watched a video you had posted from one of those Iowa events, and it seems like people were really into it. They loved being able to do this hands-on 3D art project.
They really did. I was really surprised and very pleasantly surprised. I think at the beginning I felt like a weirdo for being so obsessed with these things that it seemed like a lot of people like weren't even aware were around, or weren't aware that it was a very Midwestern thing. So I was very shy at first for being like, I love these things. Do you know about these things? Have you been? And people like they either did know about it or they didn't and were very interested. And when I set up the table to do the project, like the table was, I had people like sitting down and starting to work before I even started to explain what to do. It was like so natural for people, and it was like little kids and adults, and like everyone was so into it. So it's been really exciting to see how resonant this art form is to so many different types of people.
Talking to Becca Cassanda, artist based in Milwaukee, talking about her work on grottos, her work grottoing as a verb. And Becca, I grew up, my Polish grandparents had a, you know, the tub with a Virgin Mary in it and some decoration. They didn't go whole hog on that. And I think of this often as a religious or spiritual thing. At least some of the work I've seen you do, it seems like it's tied into the spirit in a different way, a spirit of a community, like you were talking about in Dubuque.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right that so many of these grottos are very religious and very Catholic, of course, being in the Midwest. But I kind of wanted to bring a little different angle on it. I think it really resonates with people, like whether or not the original motivation of the maker was religious or personal or patriotic or whatever it is. I think there's this like connection with like devotion and beauty and like using all of these sort of treasured objects that you sort of collect over your lifetime and making something very, you know, something very celebratory with it. It's like, it is like a celebration, a devotion of whatever it is. And, you know, in my case, when I started, it was about Dubuque. And now, I've given someone or given people the ability to make something very personal, including objects that are really important to them. So, I like sort of bringing a not totally religious angle on it, but more personal and community oriented.
If I wanted to grotto, Becca, and I wouldn't do anything on the scale of Dickieville, but if I wanted to do something small, what would I need? What do I need to get started?
There's quite a few different things you can use. The main thing you're going to need is an object to grotto on. So, I like to use bottles. You can use a liquor bottle or a wine bottle, or you can use a vase. Anything that's glass or ceramic. You just don't want to use plastic. So, and it can really be any size. And then you want to cover it with some type of a substance, an adhesive substance. So I mostly use mortar, which is like an adhesive cement. It's what's in between bricks and a brick wall. It's really inexpensive to use, but it does come in really large 50-pound bags, which is kind of a pain. So you can use other things. You can even use caulk, like adhesive tiling caulk. You can use tile adhesive that comes in a bucket. You can use air dry clay. You can use paper mache paste. You can use plumber's putty. You can use almost anything that's sticky. So it's very, it's very open to experimentation.
We've got a link to your website up at WPR.org/Central Time. People can go there maybe for some inspiration along the way. I understand also, Becca, you're always on the lookout for grottos here in the Midwest. Have your friends and acquaintances learned if they see a grotto, they got to tell you about it?
Yes. Absolutely, yeah. You know, and it's really amazing. It's like something happens when you get into grottos that you develop like a vision, like a special like grotto vision.
Grotto
and I'll see them out of the corners of my eye. Like people have these grottos in their yard, and they're amazing. So I've had people take pictures and send them to me, and I have definitely encountered quite a few really amazing lesser known grottos that I do have them posted on my website, but and there's quite a few renowned grotto sites in Wisconsin to visit.
And do you strike up conversations with, I guess, fellow grottoers, if I can make that word up?
Yeah, I do. I actually, one amazing, I do have to point this out because this is a big motivation for my work. This was in Iowa. I stumbled. I was driving on Highway 20, and I found a beautiful, really beautiful grotto in a yard in front of a farmhouse. And I connected with that family and learned that the person who made it, her name is Catherine Bastian, actually made over 900 small grottos out of ham cans. So she used the shape of a ham can to make these smaller grottos that you can like put in your home. So that was a really great connection. I also have her work on my website, but I've also connected with other artists, mostly in the Midwest, who use this sort of grotto inspired technique in their sculpture. And it's really fun to see like what kinds of materials they're using and what angle they take with it. So we kind of swap tips.
Becca, thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Becca Cassanda is an artist based in Milwaukee. We've got a link to her website and art at WPR.org/Central Time. While you're there, you can also find a link to download a map for your own road trip to some of Wisconsin's grottos and other large-scale artworks called Wandering Wisconsin. Coming up, we'll look at how major political parties fundraise and spend the donations they get. Our guest says that spending on individual campaigns can be a waste, and grassroots groups deserve more attention. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Day one of that drive, Keely Boltina joins me now on Giving Tuesday, a global celebration of generosity. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great conversations you enjoy here every day. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2020 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love giving good news. I have good news. Rob, ask me what the good news is.
What's the good news, Keely?
The good news is that this hour we have met our goal. We were looking for 20 people, and they have joined in, and that is incredible.
That is great. Thank you so much for giving. That's fantastic. Let's keep this momentum up. Love to get off to a great start on the first day because all the programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio are listener powered. That means that your donation makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I mean, in this last segment, Rob, we heard you talk about grotto art, and we heard from someone actually doing it and also putting it into perspective for us and helping us understand why it's valuable and fun and interesting. I mean, these are the kinds of conversations you count on from Central Time.
I had a lot of fun. I hope you did, too. WPR is listener supported. That means your gift makes these topics possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, you can provide books to children during their doctor's visits. Ask for one of the Reach Out and Read thank you gifts when you give $10 a month or more today.
Support the programs you love and help Wisconsin kids get a strong start in literacy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
Certainly my education, but hopefully it's going to be worth it and going towards a good cause.
Rent, for sure.
Every time I turn around, my automobile insurance is increasing.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Keely Boltina. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for all the Wisconsin Public Radio programs you count on. That's why your support on this first day of our year-end member drive is such a big deal. Maybe you give $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Yeah, at WPR, we have a core group of supporters who give and give generously, and they're willing to contribute because they depend on this as a resource. Maybe you rely on WPR, too, and for whatever reason, you haven't given yet.
We're here to tell you that WPR relies on new donors like you to grow and keep high-quality programs on the air. Make today the day to show your support. Give now. We're really counting on you. Do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. looking to rocket past our goal on this opening day of the drive. We have gone three over our goal. That is fantastic news. Let's keep it going. How about you? Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, everyone should make a gift that works for them. And for that, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month. I mean, maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Ashley in Holman says, as an LGBTQ family, honest and unbiased news is important to us. And Andrew in Richland Center says, diverse viewpoints and musical genres are part of a thriving, free society. Thank you both for giving. Think about what makes you keep listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and then put a dollar value on it and make your gift. And then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and consider becoming a sustainer. If you are a sustaining member, thank you. Also, if you aren't, this is an opportunity to get your name, your credit card information, or your checking account, and make sure that ongoing monthly payments come right to WPR so that you don't have to think about it every month, so that when you hear these drives, you know that you are contributing. You could even make an increase to your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We can't do it without you. Make your very important gift right now. Online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.